to say with Brother Woodward, we thank this church, women who worked so hard to prepare that fine meal, and the wonderful fellowship that is in this section. Praise God. And one of these days we'll be gathered together in glory with all people, God, from everywhere, from the four corners of the world, and like pressure to be made, and for that great fellowship meeting. Praise God. In fact, it'll never end. Praise God. We'll be together forever. And you know, as we talk about these things today, the prophecies and so forth, and we see the condition of the world, there's a greater desire in my heart to see Jesus. Praise God. And to walk those streets of gold, communicate with the patriarchs of old, thank God, and with those of our loved ones that have gone before. What a tremendous program of God is before us. We haven't even started yet. It's a tragedy tonight to think that there are some people that are bailing out, so to speak, turning their back on God. Oh, it's horrible to think about it when the program hasn't even really got off the ground yet. Praise God. I think when God gets this program off the ground, He raptures this church, that's when things are really going to start happening. We can be a part of that. Praise God. I want to read from the 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, a portion of scripture here that's familiar to you. Beginning with the first verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I apologize for my voice being so hoarse. Doesn't get a chance to be quiet very much. I'm not teaching in the classroom. I'm outside on the sidewalk yakking with somebody out there, I guess you'd say, about the things of God and the other things too sometimes. But chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. But I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And I want you to notice particularly verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want to read that verse again, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. We have many things today in our church, wonderful things. And we thank God for them. We wouldn't be the church if we didn't have them. We have doctrine. We believe that we have the right doctrine. The repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God through the other. We have holiness, separation from the world and the sinful things of the world. We believe in prayer. We believe in fasting. We believe in heaven. We believe in hell. We believe in the soon coming of the Lord. We believe in eternal judgment. All of these things that we have, and we thank God for them. But all of these things, without something else, is not enough. And that something else that we want to talk to you about tonight is what Paul mentioned here to the Corinthian church. That is faith. Faith. All of these other things, without faith, will not get the job done. It takes faith. God's program tonight is held together on love that is born of faith in our hearts for God. Now, we all have a measure of faith. You had faith when you left your house today to get in your automobile to come to this service. And we drive down the highway, two-lane roads, and going 55 miles an hour, and someone's coming towards us at 55 miles an hour. We've got faith to believe. The only thing between us is just a little yellow line there. And we've got faith that the person driving that car is going to drive right on by us. Nothing's going to happen. We're going to go on by him. So it took faith to get out of bed this morning. It took faith to get into your car and come to this service. But there's a faith that's higher than that kind of faith. And the kind of faith that we have to have to move God and to see things done for God is the kind of faith that, it's a belief in God's ability to perform. are our own weaknesses. I used to use this term in prayer sometimes, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong in using it, but I read the scripture the other day, and by the help of the Lord, if I can remember it, I won't say this anymore. Lord, I'm just a child. Now, I don't consider myself to be Jeremiah. I was reading the other day in Jeremiah. Jeremiah said that to the Lord. And the Lord said, Jeremiah, don't say that. Don't say you're a child. Because you're my servant. You're my servant. And when we're servants of God, it's not us, but it's God in us and through us that will do the job. And we must recognize that. We hear a lot today about miracles and signs and wonders and these things. And I suppose all of us that are ministers, we would like to be able to step forward and lay our hands upon that person that is blind and see their eyes open. We'd like to step forward and place our hands upon the ears of that person that is deaf and see those ears unstopped. And then we would say, well, we really saw a miracle. But I don't know that we'll be able to do that. I hope we can. I believe in that we can. I believe if we can have enough faith in God, we can do it. But I also believe this, that God is performing miracles day by day. Remember the time that the Pharisees came to Jesus? And they said, Lord, show us a miracle, and we'll believe. Show us a miracle, and we'll believe. And Jesus said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of Jonah. And yet John said in his gospel, he said, I suppose that all the things that Jesus had done were written in books. The world could not contain the books for all the things that he had done. And yet to think that there were people in his day that said, show us a miracle. You see, they were blind to the operation and the working of Almighty God. I believe tonight that God is working in this church. I think the hand of God is here. That's not just to make a psychological impression upon you. I believe that Jesus is here, for I feel his presence. I believe he's working and moving in hearts, in this church, praise God. You see, as a human individual, human being, filled with weaknesses and all kinds of idiosyncrasies and inferiority of all of these things, you see, I could be looking for something great and overlook what God is really trying to do. And we don't want to be guilty of that. Faith, not in our own ability, but in God's ability. Yeah. Paul said to this church, he said, I came not to you with enticing words of men's wisdom and speech. He didn't want those Corinthians to feel like, well, because Paul is such a great orator, and because he has such a tremendous education, and because of his stature, and all of these things, this is the reason why these things are happening. He said, that's the reason why I was careful to preach nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said that your faith would not stand in man's wisdom or ability, but in the power of Almighty God. I believe tonight that if we can lose our own inferiorities and quit looking at ourselves and our own inabilities, and the fact that we, in a sense, are children and our flesh and all of this, and we'll get our eyes upon God, and we'll have faith in his abilities, we'll have faith in his program, we'll have faith in his power, I mean, we'll see the demonstration of God, yes, the demonstration of the Holy Spirit in the power in which we live. Praise God. Praise God. But it takes faith. It takes faith. So many times we pray. We pray a lot. Sometimes we have certain hours of prayer. I think that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. We can work it into our schedule. But sometimes we have this feeling that if I just pray a so many certain lengths of time each day, God is going to do a certain thing. But not necessarily so. Jesus spoke one time to the disciples, Matthew 6, verse 7. And he said, when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. We feel like that if we can, the
and pour out to God in prayer, the more he's going to hear it. But Jesus says that's not necessarily so. The vain repetition won't get the job done. It takes faith. We have to believe that when we ask God to do something, that he's going to do it. Praise God. He said when you pray, if you believe that it will be done, it will be done. So many times our prayers, though they may be wrong prayers, I believe with all of my heart, and I believe I've prayed some of these kind of prayers, maybe 2 or 3 hours. Actually, a lot of times it's to no avail because our mind's on something else. And we're fighting the devil, and we just can't seem to get through. I remember what Brother Padfield said one time to us. He was lecturing in a meeting. Some of you were there, I'm sure, in the board meetings we had in Fresno several years ago. Brother Padfield was there, and he said, you know, he said, when I go to pray, and it's hard, and I can't get through, it seems like the heavens are glass. He said, I know what's causing it. Satan's there. The power of the devil's there. So he said, I just open the Bible anywhere, doesn't matter where. And he said, I just start reading. And I said, devil, I know you're here. So as long as you're here, I'm going to read the Word of God to you. And so he said, it doesn't matter where it is, we can follow it, the devil does. And I just start reading right out loud. And he said, the first thing you know, the atmosphere clears. And I can feel the presence of the Lord. And I can get through to God. James, writing about prayer, says it's essential. It's not a long prayer. Please don't go like that, Brother Dennis, the church in long prayer. I'll tell you, there's a lot of times we need to pray some long prayer. Sometimes we can get in a rut, too. We have to have that element of faith in our prayer. He said the effectual, fervent, that's a red hot prayer. That's the kind of prayer where you're walking in the prayer room and you're kicking over the prayer benches. You know, you're getting out of the gym. Then he was preaching the other night, Sunday night, and problems and things. I wasn't there, but then somebody said he's got a chair out there and he's liking it under the devil. He got so excited for me, he just went up and kicked his chair and put it out of the audience. Devil, I'm giving you a kick. You know, we're going to get mad at the devil. The effectual, fervent prayer, red hot prayer, determined prayer, availeth. It was like an end of the prayer that Elijah prayed when he stopped the heavens and then he unstopped the heavens and he said he was a man of life passions. We have the capability of touching God like Elijah did. We're not interested in stopping the heavens. We're not interested in cutting off the rain and all those kind of things. We may be in certain instances, but nevertheless, there are things that we are interested in doing for God. There are powers that we do want to see move. There are things that we do want to see accomplished. And it's going to take that prayer of faith that touches the heart of God and believe that we touch God. Praise God. Fasting must be mixed with faith. With faith. Everything we do. Everything we do. I think about this rundown. And in the scripture, when we go to the book of Hebrews, of course, which is the book of faith, and other verses in the Bible. I'm not going to read all the verses. I'm just going to read a portion of them so that you can get the message here tonight. Matthew 21:21. Jesus said that our faith could cause a fig tree to dry out and a mountain to be cast into the sea. And then he said that all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. In Luke 17:6, he said a sycamine tree would obey you and be transplanted into the sea if you had enough faith. You had the faith of a grain of mustard seed. In Acts 3:16, Peter preaching to the people there, the man was healed at the gate. He said, in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. It was faith in God's ability. Faith in that name of Jesus. In Acts 6:8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did wonders and miracles among the people. In Ephesians 6:16, he said, taking the shield of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. 1 John 5:14, this is the victory, our faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Acts 15:9, our hearts are purified by faith. Acts 26:18, we are sanctified by faith. Romans 5:1, 5:3, 22, the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Romans 5:1,
the church.
Galatians 3:26, you are the children of God by faith. Ephesians 3:17, Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. And on and on and on. This Bible tells me that my walk with God is a walk of faith in His ability. Amen. We don't have time to read the entire chapter of Hebrews to you, which is the chapter of faith. But without reading the verses, I just want to read the introductions to these verses in Hebrews. And I want you to notice it says, by faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, the Red Sea parted. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And it can be said today that whatever you and I are going to do for God, or whatever has already been done for God, it has been a product of faith in God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Faith. Faith. God works in operation to increase our faith. Praise God. Because this is what it's going to take in this hour and this day. One of the brethren here made the statement. He said, relative to the crowd that's here tonight, wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our churches in this section had a crowd like this in their church? Brethren, I'm not trying to say this to impress you at all, but I believe with all of my heart that it's a possibility in this hour in which we're in. If you have faith, praise God. God is moving today. We mentioned about the prophecy. Today at the end time. But we could also mention the scripture that said where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. We are seeing things happening today in our churches that we did not see 10 years ago. So the person that goes into the whole mission field today is even different than when we were there in Oroville. Things are happening today. And what I've been observing in the little traveling that I've done around in the district, in other areas, it seems to me that in this hour, the churches that are stepping out by faith and are getting a hold of God are seeing things happen that they never thought possible. Why? Because Jesus is coming. But I believe until He comes, we can see a mighty move of God. We are seeing it. We are seeing it. Praise God, like we never saw before. I've seen things happen myself in the last few months that I've never seen before, relative to sinners finding God. We were preaching over in San Jose, East San Jose, Brother Davis' church there several weeks ago. Brother Ayers and me, Bob Ted from the school was with us. And on a Sunday night, they had sung several songs. There was a man came in. The pastor didn't know him. He was about eight, around 50. Sat down in the back. And listened to the singing, and then they had an instrumental number. They played the old rugged cross, the guitars and the organ, piano, so what was beautiful. About the middle of that song, that man got up and came down the altar. We prayed him through the Holy Ghost there in about half an hour. He heard another man that was in the church, had been there for some time, that was cold in his soul. You could see that. He didn't clap his hands, he didn't raise his hands, and so he just sat there. First thing you know, he got up out of his seat and come down. We prayed him through with an experience in God. This stranger man that had come in, took his cigarettes out, and threw them on the altar. His testimony was this. He said, I had to find God tonight. The home was breaking up. Trouble had come. He said, I knew I had to find God tonight. Yes. He opened the phone book. He didn't know he was having special services there. He just opened the phone book and went down the churches, and he saw this church. We were close to where it is, and he came. And God met his need that night. Praise God. Things are happening. Yes, a few weeks ago, I was back just before Christmas. School vacation was on. My wife and I were there in the Stockton church on a Friday night. Young people were in charge. There was a woman came in and sat down in front of us. Again, an older woman, not real old, but I would say in her middle 40s anyway, maybe a little older than that. She came in to announce. They had testimony service. Young people testified. She got up. She said, you know, she said, I'm a Roman Catholic. And she said, I just was to the rosary. And I was driving back down the street, and I saw the cars and the lights and everything. It was the church. I thought I would get in. And she said, you know, she said, I like what I feel in here. She said, now, service went on pretty soon. She got up.
and down the platform met her there. He saw her very pretty, called some women in the church, and they took her into the prayer room. And he said, you know what she just told me? She said she was sitting there, and it felt like there was words that wanted to come out of her mouth, but she didn't know what they were. This is from somebody whose door has been knocked on. I believe in knocking on doors. But still, to see the hand of God working, look, they pray to hear the Holy Ghost. He's baptized in Jesus' name. Right there, every church is sitting about the second seat back there. Put in the prayer request. Pray for my husband. Pray for my husband. These things are happening. And I thank God they're happening. We need to exercise our faith in God. In this hour, like we have never exercised it before, it's time to get up. It's time to march forward to Jesus. It's time to put that program into operation that we've had back in the closet for a number of years. We were going to put on an addition. Someday we're going to buy another Sunday school bus. Someday we're going to do this. I'll tell you, you wait until someday, you'll never do it. Now's the time to do it. Now's the time to take that pile of money out of the bank that some of you may be storing up for a rainy day. I'll tell you, the kind of rain that's going to come is going to be the rain of God's wrath on this world. Now's the time to dedicate that money. Now's the time to reach out like we've never reached out before in our community. But our soul there that one God and will is one. I think about the bus ministry. Philomenus doesn't know something about the bus ministry. Well, what I've been able to discern in this day, at least what I've seen with my own eyes and what I've heard preachers say, you know, there was a time when we spent a lot of money on buses and things of this nature, and it was just kids that day, children, which there's nothing wrong with that. Thank God for the children. But many grew discouraged because they said, well, seems like there's never any adults, and we're going broke spending money on the bus. You know, things are happening today in churches that are having bus ministries. Mothers and dads are coming in. That's right. I mean, through the bus ministry. They're getting concerned. They're getting stirred. We're living in a world that's being shaken to the very foundation of it. People are listening. People want to know. Our young man testified last night in church. He said his neighbor man was out just working his car. They struck up a conversation. And he began to tell this man who's from the church that saved about some of his problems, and he gave him a chance to witness. He said, well, let me tell you about Jesus and how he can help your problem. He said he talked to him outside till 4 o'clock in the morning. And the man's coming to church. He promised to come. We have to have faith. Praise God. If we'll push forth the effort, God's going to bless that effort in this hour in which we believe, in which we live. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm seeing it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think of how God wants to strengthen our faith. He sends things our way to strengthen our faith. But a lot of times we back off from those things. God has to develop our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then there's that realm of personal experience, things that God puts us through that increases our faith. And if we do not allow God to test our faith, if we do not allow God to put us to these tests, our faith will diminish. We'll lose what faith that we do have. But if we'll allow God to put us to the test, there is no end to what God will do for us. We'll go from faith to faith to faith. Our faith will be increased through everything we go through. Let me use an example. I think about David, well-known story of how that when he went against Goliath, he had some faith. It wasn't something that God just gave him right at the moment. It was something that had been developed in God's program of faith. He does have a program of faith, I believe, for every individual, for every family, for every person, all of us. I can't have faith for my wife. She's got to develop her faith. And the pastor can't have faith for you. He can encourage you. But God wants you to develop faith because faith is what it's going to take to make it. So he sends us through a school of faith. And David had gone through the school. He hasn't graduated yet. God has some other things for him down the road. But he comes to the point where he was able to challenge Goliath. And that took quite a bit of faith. Wasn't anybody else in Israel that had that kind of faith? Not even the king. Well, David, where did you get that faith? Well, he told us something
Underwood, you still up there?
He used to be bear hunter. What did you take, a $20 dinner or what? You tell me don't go bear hunting with a slingshot. Or just a knife, a hunting knife. If I was going to go bear hunting, I'd want a high-powered rifle. But I don't think David had anything like that. The Bible doesn't even say he had a slingshot. Maybe he did. You know what I'd have done when I saw that lamb in that bear's mouth? He's coming after me next. You better get going, boy. We'd run. You know, God sends the bears after us today. We're going to look for a hiding place. We're going to look for a tree to climb. We're talking about our own skin. We've got to get out of here. But David, there was something that came over him. He lost all thought of his own life. There was something that was more precious to David than his own life, and that was the preservation of that land. And he went for that bear, and he got a hold of that bear, and he pulled his mouth open, and he delivered that lamb, and with his bare hands, he threw that bear. And God said, I like that. When God came to this earth in the form of a man, I believe that's what he was a man. I don't believe he was effeminate, as some of the pictures would show. I don't believe he was a weakling. I believe he was a man's man. And I believe when God sees that element of faith in us, whether we're a male or a female, that characterizes us as having faith in God and can stand up as what God counts as a man, it stirs the heart of God. And he moves in our behalf. God loves us, sir. We're willing to take hold of the challenge and step out by faith. Hallelujah. And he gives us the desired result. And then, of course, David told about one day there came a lion. All of us have been to a zoo. Be interesting to see what happened. What happened if all of a sudden the bars that around the lion's cage and we were standing there would just fall down? It really be interesting. I'll tell you, God sends us a lion. He sends us something to challenge our faith. So many times we're guilty of backing off. So many times we're guilty of finding a place of refuge. We're looking for a hiding place. When God sends something to challenge us that will cause our faith to multiply and grow, where we can do greater things from Him. Again, David met the challenge, slew the lion. And when God sent Samuel to anoint someone to stand in Saul's place, God said, Samuel, he said, there's a man after my own heart that I've chosen. And Samuel went there, and he looked and he saw the big brothers of David, and he said, surely, this is them. Fine, big, strong, strapping, looking men. And Samuel said, that's them. But God said, not so, David. Not so, Samuel. For man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. I think it's not the man's stature or his looks or how much hair he has on his head or doesn't have. It's what's down in here. God said, Samuel, none of the evil do. They're fine men. They're good men. There's another one. I've got my heart set on. He came in. Just a young boy. Teenager, maybe 15 or 16, and God said, that's him. Yeah. That's him. I've been watching you back there on the back side of the hill over there when that bear and that lion came. I've got to have a man that's not afraid of the lion. Now, I'm thinking in this day in which we're living in, God has got to have some people that's not afraid of the devil and not afraid of the sin of this world and the things that are going on. But thank God can stand up tall and be counted for God and for righteousness and will not deviate from this word. But a preacher, thank God, thus saith the Lord, and their life will manifest back, and they'll not be afraid, but they'll have faith. Praise God. I think about my father, and I mentioned it in times past, meetings here, and preaching. But I thank God for the parents that I had. I think about my father, how that during World War II,
My brother, my oldest brother, went overseas right at the beginning of the war and was down in Australia. And one day, in the newspaper, came the news that the division that he was in, the 41st Division, had gone into combat in New Guinea. And he was not saved. And my father went into the living room of our home up in Oregon. And there he fell on his knees before God. Now, this can't be a 5-minute prayer. This can't be I'll pray for an hour today and maybe God will hear me and do something about it. This is the prayer of a father who loved his son. His son was not saved. His life was in jeopardy. This is the prayer of a father that says, God, you've got to save that boy or else. My father said that he prayed. He didn't know how long he prayed. But he prayed until a cloud literally enveloped him. And a voice spoke out of that cloud and said, your son will come home. And he came home. And he's living for God today. Prayer. Faith. I've said this before, but I think it's worth saying because we're living in a time when we as parents have to get under the burden for our children. The reason that I'm here tonight as a preacher preaching this gospel is because I have a mother and father that wasn't so interested about my education. They weren't so interested in whether I had a beautiful home to live in and a good car to drive and all of that. But they were interested in one thing, that my soul would be saved and be ready to meet God. My father told my mother, he said, I don't know what it's going to take. He said, for our children to be saved. The whole family was unsaved at that time. Three of them were married, starting their families. I was younger, 14 years of age. And he told my mother, he said, I don't know what it's going to take for one of them to be saved, for our family to be saved. But he said, they are going to be saved. Now, God likes that. They are going to be saved. And then he backed it up with words of sacrifice, and it takes that. Most of us that are here because someone did some praying and sweating and fasting and tears came forth from their eyes. It was a fervent, talent prayer that brought you and me to the birth. I say, God, give me that kind of prayer. And that kind of faith. My father said, it may take one of us. It may take one of us, but they are going to be saved. And you know, it wasn't long after that, and he died. He was only 57. He had a heart attack and passed away. But you know, it wasn't long after his death, one by one, families started coming in. And they're in today. Several of them preaching the gospel. Faith. Faith. That moved the heart of God. Determination. We set our eyes upon something and we're going to have it. We've got to have it. When the basket tree is dry week after week, we have got to get so sick and tired of it and so discouraged with ourselves that we're going to tell God, God, we're going to stay here and pray. And you know, we see people baptized. And when we begin to pray that kind of prayer, I mean, that courage behind of God. I believe we'll pray those kind of prayers today. God will move forward. He is doing it. He is doing it. Let's keep it up. Let's keep praying. Let's increase our faith. Let God increase His heart. Praise God. Praise God and see the job done. God put us through the school of faith. We went through the school of faith. You all have. I was thinking about when we left Oroville and went up to Ashland. And now that God's blessed us there, and financially, of course, the Oregon District supported us for a while. But then that money ran out. And the job that I thought looked like it was going to be the same kind of a job I had when I worked for the city of Grizzly, it was just right there. It seemed like it was just right there. I had promised and all of this, but the door shut. And I just couldn't understand. And then, of course, the finance ran out. And these other things. But God will never forsake us if we'll trust Him and we'll have faith. I'll never forget the time we had come down to Oroville. I'm from business, preached during the service, and Brother Poole had taken up a love offering for us from the people. And we went back, and that ran out. And this one day, I think I had about
yes, now it wasn't a great amount, but it's quite a bit of money, bills that were due. And I was surprised that God said, we believe we come here in your will, and you blessed us, you met every need, now these bills are due, and I don't have any money. I said, somehow, Lord, you can supply the need. And I was walking down the post office, which wasn't far from the church that day, talking to the Lord. When I got there in the post office and opened that mailbox, there was a letter. And it was a letter from Brother and Sister Wright from Oroville. And in that letter was a check. They had said how that they had been in the service that night. And when the offering was taken for us, and they were not able to put any money in at that time, but they wanted to send us this. And you know, it paid those bills, and it had $10 left over. I shouted all the way back up that year. Now that's a miracle. That's a miracle. You see, we can live beyond that. I can get my eyes on something great that I would consider to be great. But God wants me to live in the realm of miracles, and He's performing them all the time. There's hardly a day goes by that I don't see God do something glorious and wonderful for me as an individual. If I'll get a hold of that, and I'll thank God for it, and I'll recognize that it's God, He's going to move me on to greater things in faith. Money ran out again, and I got a job there at Southern Oregon College, and I thought, this is it. We were working there in the school with the young people, and I thought, this is tremendous. We'll be able to invite these young people to our church. It was just a beautiful setup. But you know, God works in mysterious ways as wonders do before. If we can just somehow, as the Bible said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him and have faith in His ability. Not our own wisdom. We can't figure it out. God will. And I got hurt on the job, down in bed with my back, and we had one great payment, and that was our automobile. Now, if I'd have known that I was going to be going into home mission work or into a new work after leaving Orville, I never bought that automobile. But I bought it, and I owed a big payment on it every month. And I said, God, I called up the credit union there in Orville, and they extended the payment in 1 month, and I said, now, Lord, I said, this can't go on. Nobody to meet that. I said, we prayed and thought, God. I tried to sell that car. I put an ad in the paper, put an ad in the national paper, the Medford paper, nobody even called. And so I was really getting desperate. I put another ad in. And there was one man came, school teacher. That was a good, I was giving him the car. I said, just take the car out of my hand, make up the payment, and give me enough money, $50 or $75, I can buy an old car that will just get me around town. That's all I want. But it looked like they were going to take it, and they did. So I went down to the Chevy garage, and I talked to the salesman there, told him what my situation was, and he said, I'm sure that we can help you. He said, I'll talk to my boss, I'll tell you to get that car off your hands and give you another car again. So this one day we made, the one who went down there, and I'll never forget. I walked into the showroom there, and talked to the salesman, he said, I'm going to go talk to my boss. And while I was sitting there, I felt so uneasy. You see, God doesn't like it when we lose our faith in His ability. And yet many times He puts us to the test. And it was just something like a voice spoke to me and said, you shouldn't be here. I felt terrible. I felt uneasy and unsettled. And I began to just talk to the Lord, you know, inside. I couldn't talk it out. And I just said, oh, God, if I'm not supposed to sell that car, don't let this deal go through. You know, the fellow came out and started shaking his head. He said, I'm sorry, man. He said, we just can't do it. He said, I just steal that car from you, and I don't want to do that. And he said, my boss says, we just can't do it. And he said, I'll try to help you as best I can find a way. So we went home, and, you know, but it wasn't just, I think it was probably the same week. I got a phone call from a certain person, and word came to me, the person was going to pay off our automobile. Lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, this was the amount of a little over $2,000. And within about 2 weeks' time or 3 weeks' time, whatever it takes, I had the pink slip in my pocket. And that car was paid for. God's ability. God's ability. God, Jeremiah one time said, is there anything too hard for me? I have to say, oh God, there's nothing too hard for you. Praise God. I could go on and on. All of us could tell our stories. The thing I want to impress upon you tonight is faith. Faith. That's how the Red Sea opened. That's how the walls of Jericho came down. That's how Israel was fed in the wilderness. That's how God has always worked down through the centuries. Where He's working today, that's how He's working. When men are willing to fall on their faces before God and say, God, have Your way. Work in our midst. Use me, O God. Give me Thy strength and Thy wisdom to go out. Don't turn Your back upon anybody. I believe there's a lot in the heart for too many years. We have maybe neglected certain classes of people, certain areas of people. I believe with all of my heart that we're living in a time when we can walk into the businesses and witness to men that own businesses. Tell them about God. Yes. Brother Dias, I'm sure, tell them about how when he bought his car over there in Oakland area, how that the salesman had written up the deal and taken it into the manager and the sales manager. And after the sales went out, the sales manager called the door and said, Reverend, he said, you speak in tongues, don't you? He said, yes. He said, I want that experience. I want that experience. Brother Dad said, I'd have prayed him through the Holy Ghost right there if it hadn't been glass showroom and everybody was watching. We're living in that hour. We're living in that time. Praise God. And it doesn't matter what area of life people are in, whether it be doctors, lawyers, businessmen, insurance people. I'll tell you, there's a searching that's going forward. There's a searching that's going out. Praise God, praise God. We cannot fail God. We need to come out, as it were, to get our head out of the sand. We need to stand up and be counted. Hallelujah. Praise God. As a movement today, He has brought us to the forefront. Many are looking this way. Hallelujah. I think about what they're talking. One of the women in the church is going out to the college, to Delta Junior College there. And her teacher out there said, I want you to write a paper. He said, on that church that you go to and that school is down there. Hallelujah. 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 God. The Lord filled 120 Jews with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And they turned the city of Jerusalem from a 65 to 100,000 people. Maybe more than that, they turned that city upside down. And it didn't take them all day to do it either. Oh no. Praise God, praise God. We can do it. We can do it. Hallelujah. God can do it. God can do it. It will have faith. Praise God. You can see God work in your personal lives. Hallelujah. You may be here tonight and you may be discouraged for many, many reasons. Tonight I want to encourage you to get your eyes upon Jesus. Hallelujah. He loves you. He's kind for you. There's nothing that He won't do for you. Praise God. If you'll have faith. I want to tell this and then I'm going to close. We went to Salem, Oregon from Ashland. I don't know why God took us to Ashland. We were there 7 months. We didn't see a lot done. We did almost canvas practically the entire town, knocked over 2,000 doors, witnessed to many people. We saw some come out to service and some stir. And of course, the church didn't close then. Carried on for another 2 years or so. God moved us on to Salem, Oregon, the church there. And we just can't go into the details of how God moved there. But again, the hand of God. Blessed and met the need, but we went full time there. Of course, when I was in Oroville, and I used to pray that God somehow, if I could just, you know, didn't have to work on a job all day. And I know you brothers here that are working, and we all felt the same way, you know. We just could get into the full time ministry, what a difference it could be. But you know, we can have to leave that in the hands of God, too.
Amen.
The Lord knows all things. I wouldn't trade those years for all the money that there is in the world tonight. I thank God for Brother Woodward. We were holding a revival in Gridley, thinking of settling down when he spoke to us about going to Oroville. And there was another church that was open at that time. And we've been asked if we'd like to put our name in for it. No sign we'd get it. But I remember Brother Woodward was going to fellowship me over in Willow. He said, Brother Dugan, he said, you could take that as a church. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, there's nothing I see in that Sunday school go from 10, 15 to 20. And on up. of them. I think we can say that if it had not been for Brother Woodward, we would never even considered going there. But you know, God works these things out. The timing is always just right when we're seeking God's will. Nothing is by chance. It's all timed by God in glory. It's all planned out way ahead of time. Because all you and I do is have to just get in the plan and say it. That's all.
And so, we have to say, I've been praying, and so, sure enough, full time. I mean, the church owned the parsonage, and we were guaranteed a certain amount of power there, or percentage of the tithe and so forth. It wasn't a whole lot, but we're going to try it. We're going to try it anyway. And I kind of halfway promised the church that I would try to stay full time as much as possible. Well, you know how things go up on where we live. And I hadn't been paying my taxes at the time. And hadn't put money aside for it. I needed it. Boy, it was the first of the year with that big tax bill coming up. And a big insurance bill. And it was amounted to about $600. And I thought, well, I'm going to have to give me a job. And so, young man in the church was helping me there, was working at doing janitorial work for a place. And he said that they needed extra help, so I went to work. He and I kind of worked together down there about 4 hours a day, something like that. But I didn't feel good about it. And it seemed like the Lord just kept reminding me, well, you know, you asked that you do full time, and here you are, now you're back working. And you know, if you can believe this or not, I'm sure you do believe it, because you've been in the Lord long enough to know that I didn't, by working on that job the few weeks that I didn't gain one penny more. Because it was less money, tithe money that came in. I said, God, I've learned the lesson. I'm going to trust you. You see, a lot of times we seek the easy way out. What God wanted me to do was get over in that prayer room and get a hold of Him. I was getting that. So I did. I started getting out of bed early in the morning. And early for me, it would be early for Tom, it would be early for me. I went to that church. I began to get a hold of God. And I prayed for everything. I was just praying for myself, but I was really praying. And you know, to make a long story short, before the time came for that money that I owed to pay, there was $1,000 placed in my hand. $1,000 was placed in my hand. The Bible says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to say that a person can just lay in bed all day and pray and God's going to pour money into their hands. I'm not saying that. I think you understand that. But I am saying that when we do get into a tight spot, when we do get into a bind like Daniel was in, and like David was in, and like all people of God have been in through the centuries, it will go to the one that can help us. You will turn our eyes toward, as Brother Woodward said, toward the spiritual Jerusalem. And we'll begin to call upon the God that we serve. He can do all of this. He can supply everything, praise God. And you know, in the process of me praying for myself and for that church, within the period of about 3 weeks' time, we have 24 adult visitors in our Sunday school, people that we have never seen before. And not only that, it stirred me up, and I began to preach messages that woke the people up, and they began to get stirred, and things began to happen. You see, it all ties together. God doesn't send the lion and the bear just for you and I to find a tree to run up and to hide. He sends them to us that we might step out by faith, get a hold of those things, and see God work and move. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I came not to you with the enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration and in the power of the Holy Ghost, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. You believe that tonight? Hallelujah. Let's stand together and let's praise Him. Hallelujah. And ask Him to be faithful to us. A few months ago, the Trinitarian Pentecost saw the light of baptism in Jesus' name, the oneness of God. He's a chiropractor, and he came in, was baptized. His family has not come in yet. His wife is giving tremendous opposition. Nevertheless, he's standing true. This man was charged several a couple of years ago, I believe it was, with administering or giving this drug called Laetrile. Some of you know what that is. And this has been declared to be a drug. And we understand, according to what we heard, that it is not a drug. It's nothing more than like a vitamin supplement made from the stones of apricot. And it has rendered a measure of help to people who have cancer. Not that it takes away the tumor, but it has aided them in their eating and a number of things. But the American Medical Association has banned this and declared it to be a drug, and was able to get laws passed against those that would use it. Well, a woman, the police said a woman into this man's office, and he did not administer it as a drug or anything. It was just, he just recommended to get that as a supplement. Well, they arrested him and charged him with this. And so the trial was, it was in January, finally came to trial. And of course, in the meantime, he's come into our church and been baptized in Jesus' name. At that particular time, once the corner of the church has 3 days of continuous prayer and fasting, 24 hours a day. And it just happened to be that what's his name? How long?
Dr. Chapman.
Dr. Chapman, yes. Dr. Chapman was going to trial those 3 days. The church was praying and fasting. And so Brother Haney was down there, and he told the lawyer, he said, our church is praying and fasting this time, and he said, we're praying for Brother Chapman. It's all going to be all right. And, you know, it was all right. He was completely acquitted on all counts. This is the first time in the history of California that anybody that's been charged with any doctor has been acquitted. That Sonny, the lawyer, was there. He's former deputy district attorney of the state of California and a Christian man of some kind from Modesto. And he came. He told me, he said, I want to come to your church. He said, I want to talk to your people. And that Sunday he came and stood behind the pulpit and said, he talked about Laetrile a bit and said, I want to tell you something. He said, I give all the glory to God. He said, I've never had a trial like this one. He said, from the very beginning, he said, inside of me there was a peace that everything was going to be all right. And he said, generally in these trials, he said, I'm just torn up, I can't sleep, and he went on back. He said, I'll give the glory to God. He told Brother Haney, he said, I wish I had a church like that praying for me. He said, every case I'm in. God can do anything, folks. Hallelujah. I don't believe we've heard the end of that situation either. I believe it's opened the eyes of others. The power of God. Hallelujah. We'll give ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Praise God. Lord, you want me to go down to the mayor? You want me to go down to some businessman or someplace else? God, I'll go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've got to have that kind of boldness in this hour. And if we'll have it, we'll see great things done. Amen. Thank you.